Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms. We're going to read Psalm 23 this morning. The book of Psalms, Psalm 23, we're going to read responsively this morning. I'm going to read verse 1 aloud, you silently, and then you'll read with me in verse 2. Then I'll read verse 3 aloud, you'll read silently, and then 4 all the way through the end of the chapter. If you're physically able, would you stand in honor of the Word of God this morning as we read the Word of God together? That's Psalm 23 this morning. Psalm 23. And I'll begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Together, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Father, thank you for this great psalm. One of the John 3:16 of the Psalms, I believe. It's so comforting, so encouraging. God, help us today to get what Pastor Johnson has for us from you today. Help us to have willing ears to hear and willing hearts to follow through and do what is preached. God, work in our lives. We need to hear from heaven today. Now, Lord, if there's somebody in this room that doesn't know they're saved, doesn't know Jesus Christ as their shepherd, God, I pray that they would settle that today. And, Father, please anoint our pastor with thy Holy Spirit power as he comes and preaches today. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated, of course, make sure your cell phone is turned off or to vibrate, please, so it does not go off during the service. Check that and make sure, please. I'm going to be using visual aids this morning that could cause damage, and I'd want to throw it at you if your cell phone goes off, so be careful. In the day and time when people used to go and listen to people give recitations, sometimes they'd do poetry, sometimes they'd make a speech, sometimes they would give a talk, as it were. This is pre-television days, back when people could think. They'd go and they'd sit and listen. One night, they had two speakers at a particular function. One was a man in his day, it was in the 1800s. One was a man in his day who was known for his oratory abilities. This man had perfect diction. He had exact pronunciation. He had all the intonation of the voice. Knew how to put the dramatic emphasis on things. And all they had the two men do was the orator was to stand up and quote Psalm 23. Those simple 6 verses of the great shepherd's psalm. And as he quoted the Psalm 23, he used every bit of his oratory experience to put the emphasis on the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as he quoted that simple psalm and took pause at different places and just drew the crowds and rapt attention, when he was done, they gave him applause and he stepped aside. A moment later, an older preacher stepped out. And he was told to do the very same thing. Quote Psalm 23. Well, he didn't use the intonation and the pronunciation. He just quoted the psalm. But when he was done, the room fell in great silence. As the old preacher stepped behind the curtain, the orator met him there. And the preacher congratulated him on his abilities. And the orator said, well, they applauded for me, but you put them in silence today. And the orator made a wise observation. He said, well, you see, sir, I know the psalm. You know the shepherd. I don't know how many times I've gone to Psalm 23 in my life. I know I use it at almost every funeral I've ever preached. But in my own personal life, times I've gone to this psalm and just tried to draw some things out of it. And every time I read it, God always shows me something a little bit different about it, as it were. And sometimes it's the same thing, but just the thought of David being a young shepherd boy leaning against a tree, watching over his flocks and sheep. But in reality, David wrote Psalm 23 quite a bit later in his life. And later in his life, this shepherd boy who had become Israel's greatest king was still impressed with the fact that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We read that psalm today in entirety because I want to just take one verse this morning and one statement from verse 4. Would you look at that, please? It says, "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." There's a little book, and it's in our church library here. You can get it. It's a little simple book by Philip Keller called The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. Keller had an interesting observation about Psalm 23. For Philip Keller was not only a pastor of a church and a shepherd of people, but he was also a shepherd of sheep for a time in his life. And he understood both concepts and his observations about the 23rd Psalm. Pretty interesting. They'll open the psalm up to you even better. It's a simple book. You can read it in just a half an hour, 45 minutes of reading. Some of his insights I'm going to steal this morning and put them in the sermon today, because I want to talk to you about that one statement. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know, I thought for the longest time that the shepherd's staff and the rod and staff was referring to the same thing, the shepherd's staff. This part, you know, we're familiar with this. This is what we think of as a shepherd's staff. I remember being in Africa and seeing little African boys, not even 9, 10 years old, walking around with these huge staves in their hand. We'll explain why in a moment. But I always thought when he said, "the rod and thy staff comfort me," I thought he meant the crook part is the staff and the rod was this end of the stick that they used. But in reality, when he talks about the rod and the staff, he's talking about two different items. Every shepherd had with him a huge stick that he used, and it was called the rod. And he always had a tie on it, as it were, to hang from his belt. And he'd have it with him everywhere he'd go, and he'd have the shepherd's staff wherever he'd go. And both of them had separate purposes. "Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me," David said. See, this year of 2013, I assure you, you're going to need to know the comfort of God in your life. Now, we think of the comfort of God where he comes and he encourages our hearts and he helps us and strengthens us, and that's the comfort of God, no doubt. Got to have that, my friend. Listen to me. Got to know how to find the comfort of God in your life. Got to know what it means personally. Remember that when Jesus came to the disciples and he talked to them, he said it was needful for him to go away, for if he went not away, the comforter could not come. And now in our day and age today, the presence of God on this earth is the person and working of the Holy Spirit of God. Comforter there means paraclete, one who comes along beside us. I think it would not stretch anything if we were this morning to take a look at the rod and the staff and learn how God comforts us. I think you'll be surprised in some of the ways God meant to explain how he comforts his children. You see, the rod was just a heavy stick, usually some kind of a burl type of thing on the end. It was quite heavy, actually. And it was about this size, about this length. And they carried it on the belt, and the rod was used to count the sheep and to correct the sheep. See, when they take their sheep into the folds at night, and often the times it wasn't what you would call an organized or built type of sheepfold. They'd be out taking the sheep, finding pastures in different places in the countryside, and they'd have areas in the rocks where they knew they could get their sheep in at night. Well, every night before the shepherd put the sheep to the fold, every night he would take those sheep and he would have them, as it says in Ezekiel, and again we read in Leviticus this morning, how he passed them under the rod. He would take and every sheep would pass him, and he would simply count the sheep, not whack them with it. He'd count them with the sheep. He'd count to make sure he had the right number of sheep, then we'd come in. So he always used the rod to count the sheep. Sometimes in taking care of his sheep, though, because if you've ever dealt or worked with sheep at all, you know that they're some of God's dumbest animals. They will literally walk and fall off cliffs and get killed. A dog can run through sheep and scare them. They'll just fall over and die from fright. They're not some of the most intelligent critters God put on this earth. But they are delicious. But we won't go into that this morning. But the truth is, sheep wander off. That's why they have to have a shepherd. And so what would happen is the shepherd, he would call to the sheep. And if they didn't return to him, he'd use his staff to try to bring them in. If that didn't work, He'd throw a stick at them. If they got to fussing with each other and butting heads and disrupting things inside the flock and they wouldn't stop it, he'd use the rod and he'd pop them over the head with it to get their attention. So the very rod that counted them every night was the very rod that corrected them when they got out of line. Now look at me. He said, thy rod comforts me. God's counting and his correcting. Does that sound good to you? Don't you remember when you were a kid? How many of you ever got spanked when you were a child? You got spanked. Look at all these abused children. Terrible, horrible. Did you ever remember your parents? My dad's sitting right over here. You ever remember? I think you only had to spank me once, if I remember right, Dad. Such a good kid. You can ask him after church today. And I'll buy you a suit if you don't tell the truth. But you ever get spanked by your parents? And right before they spanked you, what did they say? Now, son, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I'm doing this for your good. You believed that, didn't you? You turned around and said, wail away, Dad. Thank you. You're going to make me a better person for this. No, you didn't. Did you? No. You know when it's the weight of it came to you, didn't you? First time you had one of your own, you had to correct. And you realized the great love that was behind that. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Now the shepherd's staff, you understand, was a simple thing. It was usually crooked at the top like this. And this was used in a different way by the shepherd. Because this staff was meant, first of all, to provide support for the shepherd. Remember seeing these little African boys when we were over there in Kenya as they were taking care of their sheep. And oftentimes, they would come right about to this size of this one of these staffs. But they had these huge shepherd staffs with them. And then you'd look out in the field, and there'd be the Maasai, usually in that part of Kenya, the Maasai people, really tall folks. And you'd see them out there leaning on their staff with their leg up like this. And they could stand there for hours because they found support in the staff that they had. Then they would use the staff sometimes when they take care of sheep for the hook part to help to lift the sheep when they'd fall or guide them when they start to wander out of the way. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Why would these comfort us from our heavenly shepherd today? Because you understand, ladies and gentlemen, He only uses the rod on those that belong to him. When he counts because he wants to make sure he knows who his sheep are and his sheep know him. And he counts them. And so when he uses the counting rod, he's making certain that because every one of the sheep matter to the shepherd. Every one of them. They're all important to him. There are no unimportant. There are no lesser sheep. There are no greater sheep. All the sheep matter to the great shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10, and my sheep hear my voice, he said, and I call unto them. Let me read it to you. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. When I think of the comfort of the rod, ladies and gentlemen, it reminds me I belong to God. I'm one of his, and he counts me, and you matter to him this morning. Are you hearing me today? You matter. We got all this stuff going around today about trying to help people improve their self-image, and most everything I hear them telling people to improve their self-image just makes people selfish instead of having a proper self-image. I'll tell you what, here's how you have a good self-image, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. You realize you are a creation of God, made by an almighty God for an almighty purpose. And if you fulfill that purpose, you'll know why you're on this earth and have a reason to live. And your worth is found in the fact that you belong to him. Do you belong to him this morning? Do you know him? Could you say, the Lord is my shepherd? Could you say that honestly? See, there's an amazing thing that happens with the shepherd and the sheep. When the sheep give birth, the shepherd is always there at the birth because it helps the sheep, the new lambs, to identify not only with their mother, but with the shepherd. Many of the shepherds are there on the night when the ewes are throwing their lambs, as it were, giving birth. They're there that night, and you'll hear them singing and talking because they want their voice to be stamped upon that lamb when it is born. That's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. Today, it's that book right there. If you're one of God's children, it's because that book right there has shown you what salvation is. And I'll tell you what it'll tell you. That salvation is through Jesus Christ. Earlier in John chapter 10, it says Jesus is the door to the sheepfold. In order to get in to be one of His, you got to come to God through Jesus Christ. Not through church, not through religion, not through works, not through baptism, not through good deeds. You come to God through Jesus Christ. That's how you come. So are you one of His today? I didn't ask you if you're a Christian because you're religious. I'm asking you, are you a Christian because you know for a fact you've accepted Christ as your Savior? Receiving Him by full free in payment, full free gift that He gave you when He died on the cross for you. And you know something? At your spiritual birth, He counted you. The Bible says He records your name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. Jesus told the disciples when He sent them out two by two, He sent them out and gave them power over serpents and devils and diseases. And they came back rejoicing, saying, boy, the devils are subject unto us. And Jesus said, rejoice not that the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. The rod gives me comfort because it reminds me, I'm one of His. I belong to Him. He's mine, and I'm His. But remember, the rod was also used for correction. So now, wait a minute, Pastor Johnson. I understand the birth thing and being saved and accepting Christ. I understand it. My friend, till you do that, till you make a definite, specific decision to ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior and you trusting Him alone for your salvation, you're not a child of God yet. That moment of birth has to take place, that new birth of being born again, that must take place. But once it does, then you belong to Him. That's why the Bible says we're not our own, we're bought with a price. That price is the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you know something? It doesn't sound comforting that the same rod that counts us to remind us we belong to Him is the same rod that conks us. Bonk. Because all we like sheep have gone astray. Agreed? Agreed? The rest of you go ahead and shake your head now. That's right. Yes. So I'm not a stupid sheep. I didn't say you were. God did. I'm just reminding you what God said. That's all. Hey, listen to me. If the Lord is my shepherd, that must mean I'm His sheep. Agreed? And if sheep are dumb sheep, then I'm one of God's dumb sheep. And sometimes all we like sheep have gone astray. Agreed? Sometimes we don't always do what we should do. Sometimes we get stubborn. Sometimes we get to fussing with the other sheep. Sometimes we don't want to go the direction the good shepherd wants to lead us. Sometimes we want to go our own way, and sometimes we want to wander off. Sometimes we're prodigals, and we've gone off to the hog pen, and He's waiting for us to return and come home. Sometimes we take a step or two off the path. Sometimes it's not necessarily a wickedness of sin. It's just a stubbornness of rebelliousness. But sometimes it is a wickedness of sin. And the good shepherd has called us. And He's encouraged us to come back. If that doesn't work, then the rod is there to correct us. Can I ask you a question? Do you see, I'm not saying, no, please listen very carefully. I'm not saying every problem or difficulty we have in life is a chastening of God, because that's not true. Sometimes it's God's perfecting us. Sometimes it's God's testing. There's other things, but you can find out real easily whether this is God applying the rod or God trying to improve you as a Christian by just simply asking Him. One of the things the shepherd would do with that rod was he'd get the sheep, and sometimes in counting them, he'd see something, he'd stop one of the sheep, and he'd take that rod and he'd rub it over the fur and their wool, and he'd look and see if there were insects or something wrong with the sheep. Because he could search him and make sure they were all right if there was something wrong with him. Isn't that what the psalmist meant in Psalm 139? Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. He'll call to us, and if we won't come, then the rod will correct us to get our attention. Have you ever checked some of this stuff that happens in your life to figure out that if you're sideways with God and you won't do right, don't you understand? That's God not punishing you. That's God trying to get your attention. Years ago, I think the first 6 months of our church, this dear lady was coming to our church. She said, Pastor, would you come see my husband? He won't come to church, and he hates preachers. I love those kind of calls. Those are my favorites. I said, okay, fine. I'll go see him. I'll walk up to the front of the house. He's out there working on his pickup truck. Back in the days when you worked on your truck by yourself. And the engine was running, and he was racing the engine, trying to adjust the carburetor and get the lean just right and things. And he's racing the engine, and blah, blah, blah. And I walked over there, and I kind of waved at him like that. He looked up at me. You the preacher? I said, yes, sir. Came by to see you for a minute. He goes, I'm working on my truck. I said, that's okay. I can yell over a carburetor. Go ahead. And so he's racing the engine, and I'm talking to him. And finally I said, look, I don't want to get you busy. I just wanted you to know I would love to see you come to church sometime, pal. You're always welcome. He goes, yeah, right. I said, okay. So I walked off, and I thought, that was it, Saturday. Sunday morning, he's sitting in church with a bandage that went from here all the way past his bicep. And I saw him, and I said, well, good morning, and welcome to church. You took me up on my offer. He goes, not really. He said, yesterday you left, and I wasn't very nice, and I was working on that carburetor, and it backfired and burnt the fire out of my arm, just burnt me up. He said, I was in the hospital emergency room last night, second-degree burns on my arm, and I was sitting there thinking, I better go to church. You should have seen his wife. It's terrible, but it's true. She said the biggest smile on her face. Me too. But anyway, don't listen now. The old expression is true. Hey, the phone's ringing. You better pick it up. Well, that didn't sound comforting to me, Pastor Johnson. No, because you still haven't got on the right side of the rod yet. He only corrects those he loves and cares for. Don't you understand? I know when our parents said, oh, this is going to make you a better person, and I just hope you know how much I love you when I say this. Modern psychologists tell you it's child abuse. Modern psychologists can go jump off a bridge. The Bible teaches that's a loving thing a parent does, not all the time, but it is a correcting thing, and it's a part of Scripture. Excuse me. I never saw the love behind it until I had to spank my first one. And I realized how much it hurt and how much I didn't want to do that, but how necessary it was. And how much love there was behind it. That rod comforts me. Then he talks about the shepherd's staff this morning. Would you look at this morning, please? When he talks about the shepherd's staff, he's talking about the fact that this would be used to give that shepherd something to lean on. Remember when David took after Goliath? He went around to come to see his brothers there at the great battle, and there's Goliath, 10 feet tall, challenging the soldiers of Israel to fight. No one will fight him. David's a teenage boy who's been taking care of sheep, and he comes to the battle. Here's the challenge of Goliath and says, shouldn't somebody go down and make him shut up? He's talking about God. The word gets back to King Saul, and David is brought before Saul. Saul tries to arm David with his own armor. It doesn't fit David because it isn't his. And when David puts off that armor of King Saul, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 40, the first thing David grabbed was his shepherd's staff. Now, if you're going to go fight somebody 10 feet tall with 150 pounds of armor who throws a spear that weighs 15 pounds on the head of the spear and is a trained killer, is this what you would go to fight with? But it's the first thing David got. First thing he grabbed was the staff. First thing. Do you know why? Those little African boys I saw over there, you know why they picked these great big tall staffs? Because they would have them for the rest of their life. That staff would become like a part of them. They'd see their little handprints, their little greasy handprints from here, and it'd go all the way up the staff until some of these Messiah were 6'6 or 6'8, sometimes 6'9. And you'd see them with the shepherd's staff, and when they were grown men, you could see where their hands had soiled that from the many hours of holding on to it, learning to lean. We sing that song, don't we? Learning to lean, learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever seen. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. The staff comforts us. You know why? Because it isn't a stick that holds us up. Now, this is the God of heaven who holds us up. Now, listen to me. It needs to become a part of your life, just like that staff did for that little boy as he grew up. When he became an adult, he had learned to lean on that staff and counted on it to hold him up in difficult times, in stormy weather, in difficult days, and when animals would come into the herds. I remember seeing those little guys over there in Africa, and they have a big old knife on one side, and they'd got there taking care of cattle in the middle of lion country with bushes all over the place where a lion could jump out and take them, and they'd have these little kids out there watching their flocks. Well, they learned to depend on that staff to hold them up and give them perspective and give them comfort in times of difficulty. Have you found your comfort in leaning on God like you need nobody else but Him? He's there for you. thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. By the way, some of you put the staff down and started leaning on something else, haven't you? So, trust in the Lord, Pastor. I'm sure we all do that. No, I'm sure we all don't. Oh, no, I'm sure we all don't. I know the times in life, my own life, I've caught myself trusting in something else besides God first. I have to go back and pick up the staff again and remind myself, God's there. He'll help me. You can always lean on Him. He is always faithful. Where's your trust today? You find yourself discouraged because someone's failed you or someone's let you down. Lean upon the Lord today. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then the hook. Sheep are quite interesting. As I mentioned, they get what's called cast down. Sometimes when they're late in the shear, when they've got their full coat on them, a rainstorm will come and that'll fill up with water. And you know how wool is with water, soaks it all up. And they'll just kind of totter around out there and they'll just boop, fall over. And the Bible calls it being cast down. But something about a sheep, when they're on their side or on their toward their back, they'll suffocate. They have to be standing upright to breathe properly. So a shepherd knows when a sheep gets cast down, he better get over there and lift quickly. And so he can reach in, whoop, pull that sheep back up on his feet and help him to get going again. So the staff reminds us of our trust in the Lord, and the staff reminds us how much God is lifting and strengthening us if we'll let Him. Now you can lay there and kick and scream all you want to, but the truth is, sometimes it's only God that can lift us to our feet again. And then the staff would be used prior to the rod. Sheep would start to wander out of the way, put the hook over and pull them this direction. Get back in there. Get back in there. He'd only do that a few times. Then the rod would be applied to get his full attention. Has God been pulling on you in some things in your life? Been yanking on some things? Getting a hold of you and trying to get you to go this way or to go that way and pull you over here, try to get you turned around, and everyone's, this is where I want you to go. Go this way. A little tap on the popo to get you going. Do you sense the shepherd's pull on you today? About what he wants you to do, the direction that he wants you to go. And sheep are just like sheep, or like any other creature God has ever made. Sometimes they don't get along with each other. So he tries to separate those sheep. These two knucklehead sheep will not get along with each other, so he hooks one, pulls them over to the other side of the herd. You stay over here. Tries to separate them to get them to cooperate and get along with each other, because what's more important, the individual sheep or the flock and their safety? Shepherd knows better, doesn't he? I don't understand why sometimes God removes things in our life. Does that make sense to you? To this day, I always fear people asking me to answer for God. More often than not lately, I've been telling people, I work for Him, but I don't always understand God. And I don't. Can't speak for Him. Can't tell you what God says unless it's written in the Bible. Then I can tell you what God says. Other than that, I'm not the Pope. That's the book. He can't tell you either, by the way. But I can tell you this. There are times when the shepherd reaches down, pulls a sheep out, and says, okay, you're not going to be in the herd anymore. I'm taking you out now. And it's a separating thing. Oh, not your salvation, but your closeness and the things that you want. He'll remove that. Pastor, how could that be comforting to me, to remind us that what we are doing has separated us from the flock, so we'll come back and be good sheep and let the shepherd lead and we follow. Where he leads, we follow. What he feeds, we swallow. And then he'll lead you beside still waters. He'll restore your soul. He'll take you through the valley of the shadow of death, and you won't have to fear any evil. And the goodness and mercy of God will follow you all the days of your life. He'll anoint your head with oil. Everything will come out right if you'll just let the shepherd be the shepherd and you be the sheep. Now, here's the best part of the whole thing of Psalm 23. I don't have to figure out what the shepherd is supposed to do. I just have to figure out what I'm supposed to be as a sheep. That's all. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Let's stand our feet, please, this morning, would you?